Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Boar.
I'm John.
I'm Kristen.
Wow. Kristen.
It's been a while.
Who are you?
Oh my gosh, it's been years.
How many years has it been?
Oh, at least two or three, I think. It's been a while.
Well, if you're just tuning in to Nerdy Show's nearly decade-long run, you may remember Kristen from... I don't know, 5 years ago, perhaps?
Yeah, I used to work on the server of Awesome, and we did the arts and culture stuff, and then, you know.
Life happened?
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. It's been far, far too long.
Indeed.
We should just catch up with you immediately.
Yeah.
You've been doing some weird things, some unexpected and cool things.
Yeah.
you became a YouTube celebrity... For the niche world of fragrances.
I wouldn't say I'm a...
Wait, how does that translate to video?
Good question.
Oh, I'm still learning that. I wouldn't say that I'm a celebrity, but I definitely have, for the past 2 years, been devoting a lot of my spare time to reviewing and sharing my passion for perfumery and olfactive art with YouTube. And I've been very grateful and flabbergasted at the amount of support I've gotten.
She just said olfactive art. Yeah, I've never heard that phraseology before. That makes sense.
Yeah,
they literally refer to themselves as frag heads.
What?
That's ill-advised.
I know. I don't think they understand.
I thought that was like a Quake fandom thing.
Exactly.
We've taken it over.
No, you can't have it. We're taking the frags back.
Well, I got plenty if you need some.
So what does that mean? And describe...
I've always really been super into fragrance, and...
So you've been a smell nerd.
Yeah, I've been a nose nerd.
There we go, better.
And so it's been really awesome to be able to share my passion and knowledge with a lot of people who have the same passion and knowledge, or I would say even more passion and knowledge. So I've reviewed fragrances, I've created one fragrance or had one fragrance created for me by a very prominent nose, Christy Michelle from House of Matriarch. And I'm currently right now, hopefully in the next few weeks, going to announce another fragrance I'm working on. And all the profits of that are going to go to charity. So actually, charity is the Big Cat Rescue that you...
I love Big Cat Rescue.
Yeah, me too. So that's the charity where all the profits are going to. And that's currently one of the things I've been working on. And it's going to be a very conceptual avant-garde fragrance that is going to be very hard to wear. But that's okay, because that's how I like to smell.
You know, you said prominent nose. And that made me think, you know, I've actually considered getting plastic surgery in the past to avoid being called that.
See, I have a very prominent nose, so I have a lot of experience with that. Definitely from my grandfather's side of the family, but
so there's a lot of stuff that I want to back up and talk about of what you just said, because that's a bunch of loaded statements there. Let's start up with the part where you created a fragrance, or you had some part in creating a fragrance, and now of course you're about to create another one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also hit some bullet points. What's your YouTube channel called?
Beauty Meow.
Okay. And how did you end up having a scent made? How'd that work?
Well, over the course
of... Depends on what you eat.
That's a good point, yeah.
Over the years, or over the year and a half, I've developed a lot of relationships and friendships, not so much business relationships, but friendships with people that own brands and businesses. So on my Facebook one day, I was kind of chiming in about how I was a little bit underwhelmed or wanted more of a specific style of fragrance, which is an oud-based fragrance with citrus notes. And a friend of mine who...
What's that first word you just said?
Oud. It's a very...
Okay, so that's a Doctor
Who thing.
Those are
aliens from Doctor Who,
yeah.
And they speak through a little ball that kind of like has a straw that it's goes like into their mouth.
Yeah,
into their
yeah
maw.
They have that, the ball. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
vaping. I think yeah. they're vaping?
No, I don't think they're vaping.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, the oud in fragrances probably smells like how those guys would smell in real life.
Which is like...
It's an agar wood, but what happens is when there is a fungus in the center of the agar wood, it's actually attacked by resins from the tree. And so that's primarily where oud comes from. So it's a very skanky, almost barnyard, very strong. John knows what I'm talking about.
And that lines up with the Doctor Who guys.
Yeah.
And also the...
And I want to rub it all over my body.
The original catchphrase of Kenny Rogers Roasters, it's the oud that makes it good.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's a good Kenny Rogers Roasters reference.
Thank you.
Are you okay, John?
No.
Okay, so oud.
Yeah, so a friend of mine who owns a luxury natural perfumery house, she basically emailed me and was like, let's do it. And that was really awesome. So I worked with her. I created art for the fragrance and I had some input, but most of the actual fragrance
input.
Was...
Input.
Yes.
Yeah. Input, Stephanie. Yes, okay.
More input.
I had some input in how I wanted the fragrance to smell specific notes and specific ingredients. And so she basically created the scent for me. So I did have input, but it was like inspired by Kristen West.
Right. Fragrance. So now you're getting your hands dirty.
Yeah, as dirty as I can.
Would that affect the smell?
It depends on if I wash my hands before or after.
You're getting your hands dirty with an avant-garde scent.
Yes.
So in the realm of avant-garde scents, I have a personal example I can cite. When Nerdy Show's John Laval and Crystal Casale got married, I got John as a bachelor gift a experimental fragrance that was called Dark Ride. And it's a skull thing that looks like absinthe, kind of sold inside of a VHS clamshell container.
Was that by Zyrina?
I don't recall.
I think so.
We'll link to it on this episode's page.
It was the VHS case, mm-hmm. case, right? Yeah, that's Zyrina. Their stuff is crazy. Anyway, continue.
Well, its scent was specifically, and I can attest, this is confirmed, it in fact did smell this way, to smell like a water dark ride, like Pirates of the Caribbean. It has that strange odor there, which they cited as being like ozone with a hint of mildew and so on.
Oh, yeah. I love...
Yeah, I just want to splash that all over me. That sounds delightful.
Well, there is a fragrance out there that's been around for a while. It's from Etat Libre d'Ange, and they are known as a very cheeky niche house. And the fragrance is called Secretions Magnifiques. It is designed to smell like urine, piss, blood, semen, pus, saliva. And I've worn it, and oh my God, it's disgusting.
Why did you do that to yourself? One, what? And what was that name again? Because I want to write this down.
Secretions Magnifiques. The old design on the art before they redid
no,
the design.
No, you said a word before that. That
was really Etat Libre d'Ange.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard someone more disappointed to hear French in his life.
Well, I'm really bad at speaking French, but I'm... Usually people are very disappointed when
like
they hear
I'm
me
watching
speak French.
Frasier again.
So yeah, so Zyrina is actually also really well known for their crazy fragrances. I have a fragrance from them called Hella Nut.
Wait, you didn't answer my other question. Is why the hell did you wear that?
Oh, well, I did it because it was kind of like a challenge on my channel to wear it and review it and do a first impressions on it.
Did you leave the house?
It stayed on my skin through like 3 showers. So even
ew.
If I... But there's some...
I mean,
Well, actually, somebody that I know who smelled it actually really liked it. It kind of reminded them of a...
Yep.
Like a sexy night that they had.
You can't see it. Boar just made one hell of a face.
What? What the hell?
Yeah. I have a sample. I don't have it with me.
I kind of wish that I asked you to bring this up. That would have been amazing. We could make the Nerdy Show recording studio smell repugnant forever.
Yeah, it would. It's.
We only do that when you're gone.
It's a little gift for when you come back.
Oh, I mean, that's real, though.
No, it's real. One time, Cap was gone, and I was the head of the show, and Brandon was tasked with coming up with some topics and ideas and fun activities, and he chopped a bunch of onions while we were recording. He thought that would be a fun thing to do, to just have the lingering scent of onions in here and try to get us to all cry while we were recording.
What is up with this group of friends and making people suffer? Like,
it's about having shared experiences, you know, just shared experiences, good and bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it made Tony really upset.
I can't.
Also, when I came in here, it smelled like onions weeks later.
Oh.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of your gross perfume.
I don't own it. It's actually like a really expensive, well, not a really expensive perfume.
It was on loan.
It was on loan? I need that back. Somebody needs to smell like turds.
People buy that, and it's a $150 bottle of perfume.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Collectors.
I know what I'm going to do now.
Do a lot of people? I'll send you a sample.
No, I don't want it. I'm going to make my own.
You might like it.
I'm just going to shit in a little jar and start selling it.
You got to mix it with fixative, so it stays on your skin.
Here's some
It'll
French words that I associate with this piss, and now you have to buy it for lots of money.
Well, actually, in fragrance, when you're describing fragrances, even fragrances that aren't designed to smell like piss and semen and saliva, there are notes like fecal notes and urine notes, specifically when you're using like musks and things like that from animals, like animalic scents. They do describe it as being a little bit fecal.
If I ever created a scent and it had fecal notes to it, as you described, I would throw it out and start over. I have failed at making a pleasant scent. Let's get rid of this and start again.
But what about animal desire, Boar?
No.
What about rutting?
No, you can just go get smelly on your own. Like, go to the gym real quick.
No, easy. You can go to Walmart. You go to Walmart. You go to the hunting section, and you buy a bottle of doe urine.
Yeah, there you go.
They sell that at Walmart?
GTG.
Yeah, of course they do. They sell everything.
DTF.
Why is that? Of course they do. Down to fragrance
is what that stands for. Down to fragrance.
I am disturbed that there are people that want this stuff.
Well, I mean, perfume's been using ambergris forever.
Yeah. That's a very popular note.
What is that?
It's whale hork.
Oh.
There are stories.
You didn't learn this from Futurama?
I've seen
Roseanne, the hologram 50%. Of Roseanne Barr teaches you this.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's very expensive, too. Like, if you find a piece of ambergris on the beach, it's very rare. You could, like, buy a house with it. Like, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Do they make metal detectors for that?
Whale vomit detectors? You just got to find the right person. In the right place at the right time.
Yeah, do they train like pigs to find it? Like a truffle?
No, but considering the price of truffles, I think it's about close to the same price.
It's not just goo. It's like a solid chunk.
Yeah, it's like a sticky rock.
Yeah.
Ah. Sticky rock. Okay.
I'm gonna cover my body in this so it smells good.
I have fragrances with ambergris. I love them. But I also like to smell weird, so
yeah.
Mm.
Well, no, I have some.
You smell fine right now.
Well, that's because I'm not wearing any fragrance right now, because I was in the car with John and I didn't want to do that to him
for hours.
So the fragrance that that I worked on with Christy Michelle, it's an oud based fragrance, so it's got that kind of skanky, like barnyard
skanky.
Oud. It's definitely skanky.
It smells like ska.
I'm gonna giggle a little bit every time you describe something as skanky. I can't help it.
But it's got vanilla and lapsang soochong and some beautiful vintage lemongrass.
Back up. Lapsang soochong?
Lapsang soochong is
That's a tea.
It's a tea. It's a smoked tea.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, it smells like tanned leather, practically. So,
it tastes like tanned leather, but in a delicious way.
So it's a vanilla skanky tea.
I have it in my bag, my fragrance, if you'd like me to go grab it, if you guys want to try it.
Sure.
Yeah,
bring
okay.
It on, bring it on.
So I have it here. This is the one I keep in my bag. I'll let Boar try it first. You don't have to spray it on you.
Well, I'm not going to because it smells like skanky,
smell it like a fine cigar,
vanilla tea or whatever. It just kind of smells like an old woman.
That's how one of the ways I like to smell.
Okay.
Much to my chagrin.
I'm sorry, John. You want to try a cap?
Yeah, let's hit it. Oh, maybe a little much. Okay.
Small closed space.
Oh no, that's really nice. It's citrusy and
I like how you know what this smells instead like, right? of just smelling it like I did. You decided to immediately, without smelling, apply it to yourself.
Well, actually, it smells different, and it will smell different on a little bit different on everyone because people's body chemistry affects.
Right,
people I know how perfume works.
People can be a little stinky, so it's going to smell like their stink a little bit.
Well, like on my mom, when she wears wood-based fragrances, it could have like citruses, it could have florals. It only smells like wood. Because her skin pulls those wood notes like really intensely.
Or perhaps it's the other way around and it literally just absorbs all the flowers.
But like if we wear the same fragrance, it'll smell completely different on me than it does on her.
I can verify the smells better than the room does. and it...
I can verify that the room now smells like that perfume.
It's almost like incense.
It's like walking into a Lush, which is great because I really enjoy Lush. There's a lot of very clear citrus notes and that woody vibe is totally there. It's like one of the, like if you open up like a redwood drawer and like the drawer smells
like a cedar planks.
Yeah, like a good cedar chest of some kind.
And the really cool thing about that lemongrass is she actually sourced vintage lemongrass from the 1970s.
It's ancient lemongrass.
That's bonkers.
Juice. Yeah, so she actually, when in creation of this fragrance, she wanted to use a very special lemongrass because it was a little bit smoother and not as sharp as other lemongrasses. So
okay, so I've got a hypothetical here. So I'm the kind of person that I can't go into stores like Bath & Body Works or... I don't know, Yankee Candle stores or any of those stores that have like really pungent scents.
I don't like those scents
either. I can't go in there at all because like I'm just overwhelmed.
What about like a good fragrance?
Does that mean that I have a good nose or a bad nose?
It means you have a sensitive nose. But the thing is generally the fragrances in those specific shops are meant to be overpowering. You're supposed to walk past them and smell them, and they're supposed to draw you in.
I know they do that with, like, you know, cinnamon bun smells.
Yeah, cinnamon bun smells so much better to be drawn into that area than, like,
I will follow those.
Yeah, so...
If it was just cinnamon buns, it wouldn't be a problem. It's when there's, like, literally, you know, several hundred smells, and you're like, I can't distinguish anything. No. It's just loud smell.
I mean, Yankee Candle needs to, you know, they are crafting powerful scents for powerful people like Stroke and Denim Temptress. These are important flavors.
Whoa! Stroke and Denim Temptress.
So are we talking about medical stroke or are we talking about medical strokes?
If you got a Denim Temptress, what do you think?
It smells like burnt toast.
That sounds amazing. Actually, the Bath & Body Works had a candle a few years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, forever ago, that smelled exactly like buttered mashed potatoes. It was bizarre, because when you walked past it, you thought somebody was at the food court and they had just bought mashed potatoes. And you're like, where the fuck did this scent come from? And then it's just this candle burning in the midst of all these floral and fruit and other fragrances. But that mashed potato smell cut through all of them.
You know,
like
this
crazy.
Reminds me of last week when we were talking about those potato chips that taste exactly like a hot Italian sausage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same thing going on.
Though, did we bring that up in the episode?
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
I thought we did.
I don't think we did, but hey.
We totally did, I think, maybe.
I can vouch for the 7-Eleven sausage chips are excellent, and they taste exactly like sausages.
That sounds amazing.
With peppers on them and everything. It's weird.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to Big Cat Rescue. What's it called?
The fragrance actually currently, not this one. This is a separate project. We haven't named it yet, actually. But currently the flavor.
Why is it not called Beauty Meow? If that's like your brand and it gives to cats?
Well, it's not going to be called Beauty Meow because the house that's going to be releasing it is going to be released as a limited edition scent underneath their house rather than me releasing it as my own fragrance, so that way more money can go to the cats. Because if I were to release it under my own name, I would have to buy bottles, I would have to buy caps, I would have to bottle it myself. It would
take
a lot more overhead.
Well, I can donate one cap.
One cap.
Yes.
But also, it's really not so much.
I've donated you!
What else is new?
Yeah, it's not a vanity project. So it's not like Beauty Meow's fragrance. It's just supposed to be a fragrance that I've wanted to create for a very long time in my head. And I'm partnering with the perfect person to create it. So it's not so much a vanity project as it's more of just something I want to see out in the world.
Well, that is cool. And we've talked about smells for about 21 minutes, which is, I'm sure, more than you bargained for, dear listener. John.
Now, I feel like we should have done that at the end, so now the rest of the discussion doesn't have to be overwhelming scents all around us.
Well, I'm sorry.
Too late
it's
now.
It's not your fault. It's Cap's fault.
Well, actually, it is my fault, considering this is my fragrance, and I did bring it in here and offer to have you guys smell it.
Well, yeah, you supplied the gun, but Cap pulled the trigger.
I don't mind.
Anyway, what's going on with you, John?
Yeah. Hey.
What? Who? How?
How is life, SciTech correspondent John West, who's making an unusual appearance live in the studio?
Yeah, I really miss not hearing your air conditioner in the background.
You're normally a computer.
To be fair, normally the air conditioner is off, so I have, you know, sweat coming off my brow, and it's horrible. Anyway, what you're hearing
normally...
You should
bottle that. That's a powerful odor.
It is, but nonetheless...
Nice segue.
The fan sound is actually the computer.
Oh, okay.
The massive tower.
And usually we eliminate that noise in Nerdy Show because we're professionals.
Yeah, but I still am used to hearing it while he's around.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
I can
true.
Make a humming sound in the background.
Oh, yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
And stop it.
Well, do you want the SciTech or other?
Shave, whatever. Other? What's other?
Yeah, what are you doing? We want to know about you.
That's your life.
What's new in your life? What's important to you?
You're a boy scientist. What have you been boy sciencing lately?
Soda carbonation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, I've dabbled in this before. Now I'm interested. What are you doing?
Carbonated perfume.
What?
No?
If you saw the look on his face, it was confusion and horror.
It's your turn for weird looks, John.
I just went diving down that hole, you know, you just look in there and you're like, damn, the ginger ale, it cost $1 billion for the card stuff, you know what I'm saying, like the good things.
Okay, so you're going into this, if I'm gathering what you're putting on the table, is that you're trying to save money on soda by carbonating it yourself?
No, man, I'm trying to make as much ginger ale as I can goddamn drink in a single sitting without spending like, you know, $20.
So you're trying to save money on ginger ale. Oh,
hold on.
Premium, grade A, exquisite ginger ale.
Do you mean ginger beer?
No, man.
Well, hold on. No. The ginger beer is where it's at. And what's more, the cost of ginger beer far outweighs the cost of ginger ale. So
Right. But the key thing here really winds up being is that as far as I can tell, the only real difference between the two is that one's carbonated with yeast and the other one's normally applied as a syrup to seltzer water.
That's interesting. I did not know that. I thought it was just intensity.
He's been spending a very long time, and I mean a very long time, researching different recipes, different ways to carbonate look what you made me do, John. To carbonate the soda. I mean, we've been looking into getting like a kegerator or something.
What?
Do that because we can't, but it was just kind of like a little joke we've been talking about.
Now, I dabbled in this for a little bit. Did you make your own carbonation machine, or are you using some sort of a commercially available product?
See, that's the whole thing. I've put it off right for now, but I have all the parts just queued up in my Amazon thing. Incidentally, using Nerdy Show's...
Wait, so how are you doing it now? Answer my question.
I made a syrup instead, but that's I want to live my life.
You made a syrup?
Yeah, I made a ginger...
How are you carbonating it? That was my question.
By using just straight seltzer water from the store, which means, of course, it's undercarbonated because it's not carbonated enough, which is why I want to make my machine.
Okay, see, you have to make your own machine.
I know.
I don't know how I lost mine, but over the course of two moves... Yeah, that's the weirdest part, is because the carbonation machine is like a 6-pound CO2 canister.
Yeah, CO2 canister.
Which is huge, and it had all these pipes coming off of it, and, you know, dials and special caps to carbonate stuff, and I somehow lost it during moves, right? But I highly recommend going that route, because you can carbonate the crap out of things.
Yeah, no, I kept looking at, like, the 2-liter things, and then I was looking at, like, the actual Cornelius kegs, and I was like, wow, that's fucking insane.
Maybe that's what I'll do next time. Is
5 gallons.
When I rebuild, I'll get into larger things, because what I did was I got a 2-liter bottle cap thing you could carbonate whatever you put
available
in, 2-liter
in both
bottle.
Plastic and stainless steel,
but that was a huge pain in the ass, so I think next time I'm gonna tweak that whole idea and start over. But I am extremely interested in crafting interesting homemade sodas. So.
John, you went a different direction though. You made your own syrup, which is not necessarily what people do regularly.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of actually a weird thing because, like, you wind up at, like, all these, like, craft beer kind of websites, basically, because they actually use a lot of the same stuff, but what they wind up selling there is actually basically the soda flavor. So you bring the water and the sugar, you dump in the flavor, and then you basically carbonate that in, like, a 5-gallon Cornelius keg.
And you said, fuck that, I'm making the flavor.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it is, though, is, like, there's very few books, actually. I think there's, like, 3 or 4 that are, you know, really prominent at all on the entirety of Amazon.
And also what I've noticed...
On doing what? Making syrup?
Artisan sodas. Yeah,
like, recipes for sodas and that kind of stuff.
And also, when you go to those recipes, there's a variety of different ways that sodas can taste. Some of them are a light flickering of flavor and a very strong soda water flavor. So it's very light, sweet, sometimes somewhat bitter.
I'll give you the recipe for the favorite one that I made. And it was basically, what I did was I took a bunch of pineapple juice, right?
Weird.
Yeah. I started with pineapple juice, and then I added about probably, I think, 50% water to the pineapple juice, and then I added a bunch of simple syrup, and it turned out to be like the best pineapple soda that I've ever had.
That sounds awesome.
But that was, you know, obviously I had the carbonation machine. That wouldn't be as easy for you to do and your current add sparkling water to it.
What about the cider?
Well, this is the whole thing. Like, this has been going on for years in a roundabout kind of way. We used to have, of course, a soda stream, which is, you know, generally net bad idea, right?
Yeah.
But, like, we had mulled, you know, apple cider. And then we carbonated it in the soda stream, which, of course, is explosive and, like, incredibly violent.
It was delicious.
Why was it explosive?
Because we didn't refrigerate it in the intro. So we literally, like, carbonated the shit out of it. It has all the sugar in it, which provides, like, a bazillion nucleation sites for the carbon dioxide. And then it just, like, basically detonates.
So whenever we did that, we'd have to do it in the bathtub. Because otherwise... It literally looked like we murdered.
You're making
a jug
bathtub
of apples.
Sodas?
Yeah, bathtub sodas. But it was delicious.
Now somewhat that, literally.
If you start a soda company, you should call it bathtub sodas. That sounds artisanal.
Well, if you do get one of those machines made or you purchase one or whatever,
you bring it on up here and we'll make ourselves some pineapple sodas.
Well, I need to get back into it, and you might have just reignited my passion. But, you know, don't try carbonating milk. That's all I'm going to say.
That sounds gross.
Oh, you have my attention. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I went through a little bit of a phase where I was like, what can we carbonate?
Oh, carbonated meat.
And, you know, I can carbonate anything that I can get into a 2-liter bottle. So.
Yeah, no, modernist cuisine. And actually, the modernist cuisine would just recommend instead using a whipping siphon for that. But, you know.
That sounds like something at a BDSM club, but all right.
A whipping siphon?
Yeah.
I guess it does. No, that's where the whipped cream comes from. When you
That didn't make it sound any better.
And I mean the culinary exquisite thing as opposed to the excretions magnifique.
And you said the modernist cookbook.
Though I suppose technically lactate would be...
Lactating wood?
What?
Nice.
Well, you said lactating wood.
I know.
That's the word of the day.
And that's where the whipped cream comes from. Ding, 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 ding.
Lactating wood. Nice. Very nice.
Thanks, John. What?
I'll have mine straight from the spigot.
Right. God.
Anyway, John.
Damn. The whipping siphon has a large enough mouth for you to put cubed meat in easily. And then you can carbonate it. That was the whole fucking point.
Cubed meat.
It got better. I don't know how.
Modernist cuisine.
Gotta put that cubed meat in the whipping siphon. We're going to have some carbonated meat, I'll tell you
probably
what.
Probably volume 2, because I think that's the equipment one, probably has something about that
Modernist cuisine? Is that a book?
A book series.
The modernist cuisine. The, like, what is it? How much is it? 500?
Basically, it's a... end-all be-all of modernist molecular gastronomy cuisine, and they go really in-depth in regards to equipment, the history, recipes, and things like that. And when you buy the books, they come in like volumes. So the first volume, actually John got it for me for my birthday like 5-6 years ago. I feel like it's been forever.
Whenever it came out, I don't remember.
And
thousands of years ago, before Sigourney
Weaver.
It's
like 50 pounds.
Yeah, no, the it's heavy, but it's really interesting. It's like, if you're interested in like like the scientific side of cooking, and you want to learn a little bit more about modernist cooking, it's a fantastic book. So the ones
the only cooking you should care about, because it uses modern reality and science instead of the hoodoo you got from the French from, you know, like fucking 1,000 years ago.
If there's not a whipping siphon or lactating wood, I don't care.
Man, there's all that and more.
Oh, okay. Well, John, what fascinates me the most about your ginger beer ale making is that, I mean, I've been, you and I both know this, but the listeners probably don't. Like, we're both very much into ginger beers and ales.
When are you going to post your list on the internet?
I don't know.
Of all mankind?
For the last year and a half, I've been compiling a list of every ginger beer that I've had and giving them a letter grade. And it's been an interesting journey. I found you go to big box stores like Total Wine and More, and go in the back, creep out in the mixin' section, and you'll find some unusual brands of ginger beer and stuff I've never seen before, stuff from all over the world, and some of it amazing. Ginger beer is exceptional. It's not just a mixer. That's fucking bullshit. Like, it's one of the greatest drinks ever made. So I have some very passionate feelings about this, and I have a list of I don't know how many different ginger beers. I can share with you the tippy top. The number one thing is Camp Fangamer is happening this coming weekend. If you're anywhere near Tucson, Arizona, you should go to it. It's going to be incredible, an immersive experience. I have a little hint of what's going to happen. And also, if you're not able to make it out there, there will be something very much worth your while to do at home to participate in Camp Fangamer this year. It's going to be very exciting. I can say no more, but if you do make it out...
Does it involve mayonnaise hole?
Yes, it does. So maybe...
Why did we never start up the mayonnaise hole league?
Well, here's the thing. I would never willfully not make it to Camp Fangamer, but unfortunately, I couldn't make it this year. It's the same weekend as San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm also not making it out to. There's a lot.
I like how that was like your reason why you couldn't be there.
No, I'm just saying,
I can't be there because that's
that
the same weekend.
Is the episode
also not going
to
be on that?
I mean, like, there's a lot going on. There's so much going on that I'm neither going to Camp Fangamer nor San Diego Comic Con. So it's a whole thing.
I'm waiting for the lame thing that you are going to go attend.
It's a work thing. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
It pays the bills. but the reason I bring up Camp Fangamer, which takes place in Tucson, Arizona, is if you go there, you can get the only ginger beer that has ever gotten an A+ from me.
Yeah?
That is a homemade ginger beer at the Welcome Diner in Tucson, Arizona.
Wow.
It is incredible. It has no equal. It's fruity. It's zesty. You can tell that someone made this by hand, and you're being served it extremely fresh. It's incredible. Now, I will give you... I guess I'll post this list somewhere, somehow. We'll link to it on this episode's page. But I'll give you the A's. Here's the A's. Here's the thing you should the things you should look out for. Reed's Extra Ginger Brew, all natural Jamaican style ginger beer. You can get that at Whole Foods, but it is.
I feel like you fed me one of those one time.
Probably did. It's an A. It'll burn you
is
on the way
down. Is that the spicy
one? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, which is equally spicy, Ginger People Bottoms Up Unfiltered Ginger Beer. That one's harder to get, and it's the most expensive ginger beer I've ever bought.
How much is it?
It's like, I mean, granted, ginger beer is nothing by actual beer prices, but it's like.
It's
I think
tens of cents.
12 bucks for four.
That's pretty decently priced.
Or between 12 and 8, depending on where you are, I think. Anyway, Bundaberg.
That's Bundaberg.
Well, it's actually Australian.
Ah.
And that one is top shelf, really good. You can get it at Total Wine and More. It has a kangaroo on it. It's very, very good, and it comes in an old-timey style, like round brown bottle with a pull tab on it.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
Yep. And there's a weird variant of that happens around the holidays, which is not as good. I rated it a... Where is it? Well, there's a Christmas one. And it's like it's got like holiday flavors. And it's
holiday
it's,
flavors.
Yeah. That's a Bundaberg Spiced Ginger Beer. That's a B-.
Is it a gingerbread ginger beer?
Kind of. But it's got a little bit more ants in it than you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Ants.
Ants?
Yeah.
Ants?
And DG Genuine Jamaican Ginger Beer. Very good, but I try to keep things with high fructose corn syrup off my list, and it does have it, but it is...
I have a question.
Yes.
What is the worst one?
I was just going to ask that, yeah.
Well, that
I beat,
is...
I beat you to it.
There's, you There's only one D grade ginger beer.
Oh, that's as low as you go as D.
So far.
Okay. I'm going to create the world's worst ginger beer for
that is
you.
St. John Brewers. I'm sorry to say. They seem like they're probably, St. John is probably from the Caribbean. They're probably where ginger beer comes from, but they're awful. D.
Now, so I'm going to get some of her gross perfume, right?
I don't.
And I'm going to put it around the rim of this ginger beer that I make so that when you're drinking it, not only do the contents taste underwhelming, but you're going to have a little bit of hints of fecal matter and urine.
You know, I think you really hit on something there.
You forgot pus and blood and semen.
No, no, I just want to, keep it basic. It's going to be just classically gross.
None of that fancy biz?
Yeah, like brewed in a back alley by a homeless man. That's going to be the aesthetic.
But how are you going to serve it to him?
Derelict, exactly.
It derelict out of that guy's rancid old cock.
Whoa! wasn't going to go there, but okay.
Is that the lactating wood we were talking about
that's
earlier?
That's the very one. He can't really control it anymore. It's kind of sad. But, as for me, Bourne and I both saw different concerts.
We did.
I'll say what I saw because it's less of a deal than what you saw in some ways.
I saw it was a big deal to me, but you know.
Well, we'll see.
Go ahead.
I saw a Chrono Trigger concert.
Ooh.
Music of Chrono Trigger arranged and performed. Performed by the Orlando Contemporary Chamber Orchestra. There's some kind of Kickstarter going on to make this Chrono Trigger thing happen. It was great, and I came. I stayed for the Chrono Trigger, but what I came for was one of the opening acts, which is the Chamber Orchestra, performed some brand new work by Ryan McQuinn, the guy who does the score for Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program and Dungeons and Doritos. He's doing music for a sci-fi video game, and it debuted there. He did a suite of all the pieces worked together, and it was wonderful.
That sounds awesome.
I'll link to where you can watch an entire stream of the whole performance on this episode's page.
Nice.
Now, what about you?
Yeah, what'd you see?
Yeah.
I went and saw Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, dope.
Is that where you got that kick-ass shirt from?
It is where I got this kick-ass shirt from.
It's got a weird sigil on it that's not the usual Coheed and Cambria sigils.
Yeah, so what's going on in the Coheed and Cambria universe is that...
back up.
Backing up.
Coheed and Cambria are a rock band that tell...
Prog rock, or... Is it progressive?
I think it's prog.
Yeah.
They tell song stories in both albums and comic books.
Yeah. Concept albums.
Yeah.
All but one of their albums is a concept album.
And they're all linked together.
Except for that one.
Except for that one.
Yes. It's all the same universe. Their newest record, which is coming out, I believe, in October, is going to be a continuation of their previous... it's going to be in the same universe after the events of their last album. The last one chronologically in the storyline, which is not anywhere near the latest one. It is their...
Oh boy, I just got real... So wait, they're not releasing them in sequence, but they are releasing them in sequence.
No, not technically, because they did... The second one was their first album. The third one was their second album. The fourth one... Well, I lost count. But they started at two... They got up to four part two, and then they went back to one, and
so
then they did
like a proto Star Wars kind of thing.
Hold on, and then they did a two album prequel. And now this one is going to be. I think they said there's going to be five more albums, starting in the newest part of the universe.
Yep.
If that made any sense whatsoever.
And
so
that's how you build a devoted fan base.
It's the furthest in the future.
So
far they've released two songs.
Uh-huh.
And they're fucking awesome. And I was really looking forward to seeing those songs performed live because Coheed and Cambria's fan base is really energetic and dedicated. And everybody knows every song like by heart. Like everybody is singing the entire concert along with the band, right? So they released these songs ahead of time. In my mind, it's probably to get the fans to know what the songs are so they can sing along, right? Because that's how they do.
Sure.
The venue that they played at is an outdoor one in Tampa, and they have a very hard cutoff time because it's an outdoor amphitheater. There are local laws that make them shut down at exactly 11 o'clock. So they finished with one of the songs and they went off the stage. And I was like expecting this other song because they had played it the previous night. And the song is called Unheavenly Creatures. So I was expecting it to be played as part of the encore. They walked off stage and everybody started tearing down because it was that hard 11 o'clock cutoff. And then, you know, of course, they played it the next night, too. So the only song that I wanted to hear really badly, they didn't play. So that kind of upset me. But it's always an amazing show. And it was by far the largest crowd that I have ever seen them play to.
Well, and that's why Orlando needs a large yet still mid-sized for large venue. So
and I had amazing seats. Amazing.
I would expect nothing less for Boar.
Yeah, no, it's gotta be only the best. Unless I can't get the best, and then I'll settle for something a little bit lower.
If you dig this show, or any of the shows on the Nerdy Show Network, we are entirely listener supported. We might have ads from time to time, but we thrive, rely on you exclusively. We need you very, very passionately and very, very deeply.
Yeah, we're not like athletes. We don't have athletic supporters, so we need listeners to support us.
Yeah, that we have only existed because of you fine folks. In fact,
did you like that jockstrap joke there?
I didn't get it, actually. But
Continue.
Okay. We actually found out recently there was a report done that we discovered only via Twitter that we're the longest running games and hobbies podcast on Apple Podcasts.
That's crazy.
Which basically means in the world.
Yes. Yeah,
basically. As far as anybody cares.
I mean, which means that if anyone started before us, and certainly they did, we're still around. So we've been here a long time, and that's purely because of you amazing folks who supported us.
Sometimes we slide a little bit too far out of the genre when we talk about like perfumes or foods.
This is a weird one. I'll bring it back. I swear, I'm gonna bring it back. Hopefully, you've enjoyed this journey. I know
we slide in and out of the genre pretty regularly.
I mean, honestly, I know that our shows have been for this program. The Nerdy Show has been very strange for the past.
The? Did you say the?
I mean, not that it's called the, but like this show, you know, Nerdy Show.
Gotcha.
Not the Nerdy Show, but this show.
Okay.
We've gotten very strange over the past year. Like, you know,
I'm sorry.
We're all sorry, but it's you know,
I'm just taking the blame for that. It's my fault, probably.
If you like us more, if you like us less, let us know. We'll you know, we'll dance because we're your monkeys. And we like having a good time. We like hanging out. So you should support us on Patreon. Even $1 a month does make a huge difference. If everyone who listened gave $1, at least $1, obviously, if you can give more, that really does help out. But, you know, we'd be in a good place. We're only just barely making the bare minimum of what we need. So it's important that you folks support us when you can. We do understand. I mean, we're all like in our early 30s and life is a bitch, so you know we get it. But so we everybody who contributes, thank you so much. Special shout out to Kutsushita, who's taken advantage of the opportunity to give us a one-time donation. He does that quite a bit, actually. $50. Thank you very, very much, Kutsushita. We also have some new patrons, Ron Ron and Nikolai Torkskog. Welcome to the Patreon. Hopefully, yay, you're enjoying all the bonus perks we have, and if you haven't checked it out, do check out all the perks we have available. If you're giving a one time donation at nerdyshow.com/support, if you just like, you know, I like this one show, here's $5. That's cool. You can do that, but also consider subscribing.
But if you get to the highest tier, what is the highest tier monetary value?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you?
$20? No, 100. No,
the highest tier. No, there's one beyond that, isn't there? It's like $5,000 a month or something.
Oh, no, that's our goals, not our tiers.
No. But I think we're setting up a $5,000 goal.
Oh, that's right.
Tier, right.
Tier, right.
So, yeah, and so after you take the $5,000 tier, you get all of the perks of the previous tiers. But after you've been at that level for at least 5 months, then we send John West to your house.
That's right.
He's worth it.
As your personal robo-butler.
But we're not going to tell you when. We just have to know where you live, and you're going to get some surprise science.
I get surprise science every day.
Well, one lucky fan who pledges $5,000 a month after 5 months will get some surprise science in their life with John West.
We'll get to be in my shoes for 24 hours.
Only available in the continental U.S.
We have another way to support us. And that is to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It's totally free. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but if you
Podchaser is not a pain in the butt.
Podchaser is not a pain in the butt. Apple Podcasts / iTunes is always a pain in the butt. Podchaser is a joy. Podchaser is a gift, is a blessing. You can make playlists on Podchaser now. So if you
and I
make,
do.
Do you? Have you?
No.
Oh, you could make a Nerdy Show Greatest Hits playlist. Your favorite episodes, you can make a playlist of that. You could share it with us, and we could share it with other people. That's a thing you can do. That's a very new feature for Podchaser. Podchaser is where you want to go if you want to be able to search specific podcast episodes, search specific podcasters, to interface with podcasts in a way that is far more meaningful than what is available at Apple Podcasts.
You could make an all-bore playlist.
That's right.
Just listen to me constantly.
Or we could just give
start
them
your
phone number
show.
And they could just call you different times
of the
night.
Well, that's the $6,000 a month tier.
You get access to Boar's phone
Patreon.
Number.
On Patreon.
$6,000 a month.
Yep.
He will change it if you stop giving. So
You know, that's actually an interesting thing that you bring up, changing a phone number. I went into a Verizon store recently. Well, it was probably a couple months ago. It was a few months ago. But I learned from, because I needed a new SIM card and he had to look up my account. He was like, let me look up your account real quick. And he said, wow, you've had this account for over 19 years. I've had the same exact phone number for my cell phone for
sure
over 19 years. That's ridiculous.
You should keep it going.
I mean, I have two.
It's ridiculous. How have we done this?
By being awesome?
I guess.
Well, I'm not
I've
awesome.
Never changed my phone number, though.
Ever. I'm not awesome.
Yeah, I don't ever want to change my phone number.
So if you've ever had my phone number, listeners out there, you can still get a hold of me, unless I blocked you for
some
reason.
But we're not giving it out, though.
No, I'm not going to give it out. You have to get to that $6,000 a month tier on the Nerdy Show Patreon.
Mm-hmm. But we had a recent review on Apple Podcasts. John, I believe you're gonna read that for us.
Yeah, the thing you're pointing at there, bucko.
This came from Jeffro Tull. I love these nerds. Since 2009, Nerdy Show has been my go-to source for all the news I care about and for news I didn't yet know that I should care about.
Wow, have we done news?
Have we?
Not on this episode yet.
Oh.
And
we should give
like
this guy
share?
Some news.
All right, let's give him some news. Hey. I love RoboCop, but I didn't give a fuck about the 2014 RoboCop. That just looked bad to me. It wasn't like, look, Paul Verhoeven made a great film, and this new one, it clearly didn't have that same spirit. I've heard there's a couple good scenes, but generally everyone has confirmed my concerns that made sure I did not give it money.
All right, cool. I took care of it.
What'd you take care of?
I sent Jeffro Tull some nudes.
Oh. Well, I'm going to keep giving him the news then.
So
here's the deal.
I misheard.
RoboCop is coming back. Original continuity RoboCop. RoboCop 1 through 3, I guess, maybe. Maybe just 1 through 2. I've never seen the third one. It doesn't have Peter Weller in it.
There was
so I don't
a
care.
Third one?
Yeah.
Huh.
Came out in the early 90s.
Okay.
Anyway.
I saw the remake.
How? Yeah. Did you like it?
It was okay.
But
it didn't feel like RoboCop. RoboCop was one of those movies that was made in the 80s, and it had this cheesy charm to it that is just really difficult to recreate in a way that isn't just a gritty sci-fi show.
Right. It was serious and funny simultaneously.
Right.
A bit like, cartoony.
Like,
on purpose.
Right. Like Gremlins.
Because it knows what it is. It's a movie called RoboCop.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven didn't say, yes, I made this, I sound Russian, he's German, but like, I think he's German? I don't know. Anyway, he didn't make this movie called RoboCop thinking this is a very serious movie. He's like, this is a socio-political science fiction satire.
Right.
That is now shockingly close to reality. So, anyway, in the time when we need him most, RoboCop returns. That's actually the title of the forthcoming film, provided that it gets made, but hopefully it will. It's going to be directed by Neil Blomkamp, the guy to District 9 and Chappie.
Oh. I'm interested now.
It is a direct sequel to the 1987 film. Does that mean it counts the second one? I hope it does. The script was conceived years ago by the original film screenwriters Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner, and it's currently being rewritten by Justin Rhodes, who co-wrote the forthcoming Terminator reboot. We don't know how that is yet.
As long as somebody shoots a dick, that's all I care about.
Here's well, hopefully they'll bring Fatal Farm on for the special effects so we can get a scene 27 IRL.
Exactly. But
here's the deal. So you might have, I just mentioned writers, a script. My one greatest criticism of Neil Blomkamp is that when he writes, everything falls apart. Chappie was a really, really well-made film that had a terrible fucking script.
Yeah.
And
I'm not going to argue with that. It was an okay movie.
Yeah, I don't regret having watched it, but it could have been so much more if it was just written by someone else. I think.
And if Diantward wasn't in it.
I like Diantward.
Yeah.
But Blomkamp, he's a great director, and here he is doing someone else's script, and I'm so excited for that because I think that's where he can thrive. It's important to know your limitations. So for me, as a third party, that's where I see it. So Neumeier and Miner are producing and executive producing the sequel. So even though there's somebody doing rewrites on it, they're still very involved. It's set in Detroit. The only thing we know about it right now is the anarchy reigns. The anarchy? Is that really happening? I don't know. This is what I wrote. The anarchy reigns and the fate of Detroit hangs in the balance as RoboCop makes his triumphant return to fight crime and corruption. It has zero connection whatsoever to the reboot.
Yeah.
I am all on board. Don't fuck this up.
Is it kind of like that one season from Community?
The one
where Dan Harmon wasn't there
with the gas leak.
Oh,
like, we're just gonna ignore this.
Oh, the reboot. Yeah.
I'm just gonna ignore this.
Well, here's the thing, though. RoboCop has had a live action television series, an animated series for children, a third film that no one talks about, and this reboot. There's been a lot of RoboCop. There might have even been multiple live action series for all I know. There's been a lot of RoboCop that no one gives a shit about, except for diehard RoboCop fans who I don't know if they care for it either, quite frankly. I've never met anybody who was really into any RoboCop
beyond one and two. I've never met any of these people.
I mean, everyone who's seen RoboCop can universally love RoboCop 1 and 2. I just don't know. The other stuff, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, there's one good Crow movie, but there's an awful lot of Crow. If you love the Crow...
Is there more than one Crow movie?
Oh, yeah. There's...
Why?
There's at least one theatrical film, probably like five sci-fi originals or something like that.
I think I heard
that.
Something about there being a reboot for that.
Yeah, no, the buff dude, Jason Momoa, Aquaman.
Oh, he's in it?
He's playing the Crow, which makes no sense because the Crow is a goth idol. You need to be lanky. You can only be as ripped as Brandon Lee. Mm. Come on. Like, I mean, yes, I'm not one of those fans who's like, you can't change anything. But I'm saying if you as an executive say, hey, we've got this property called the Crow. I want to make a film about it. I want to make that Crow money. It was really successful at one point in time. Why haven't we been able to do that again? The answer is you're catering specifically to the goth demographic.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of Jason Momoas in the goth demographic. Brandon Lee was a good looking guy, but a waify, muscly
kind of
guy.
Maybe they'll keep him out of the sun for a couple of years and tell him not to work out.
Yeah. I think like that would be like destroying his greatest assets.
Right,
though.
Because like, he's Aquaman.
That's what he's known for.
Yeah.
It's like just being ripped.
No, he's Ronan from Stargate Atlantis, and he'll always be that to me.
Exactly. And I mean, he's been in all sorts of shit, but yeah, I mean, like, he's fucking crazy ripped, so getting him skinny would
right.
be...
Someone, it's like someone said to an executive, the Crow is a superhero. No! The Crow is not a superhero. The Crow is a romantic ghost story.
Pretty much, yeah.
Set in a post-apocalyptic world of Halloween riots.
I mean, I don't even think The Crow would need to be remade. I mean, if they wanted to make more money, why couldn't they just re-release it in theaters?
That yeah, probably, with special effects.
It would cost less money, and they more. Probably would make the same amount that they would make on the re-release.
Well, you know what's silly is there's been a lot of comic books of The Crow, and I haven't read a lot of them. I'm not a huge Crow fan. I like the first film a lot, and that's really where it starts and ends for me. No one's ever, like, there's been a female Crow probably multiple times. There are
what?
In the comics.
Oh, in the comics. Okay.
There's a lot of there's a lot of variables to what can be done within the confines of the Crow universe, such as it is. But like
they don't call it a Croniverse?
They probably should if they don't.
that's a free one for them.
Okay, enjoy, folks. We're here all night. So yeah. Anyway, that sucks. People shouldn't do that. I have one other weird news bite. If comic stores last week were all surprised by getting delivered a comic book that they didn't order. If they ordered Robert Kirkman's recent series, that's the Robert Kirkman creator of Walking Dead and Invincible. If they ordered his recent series, which unfortunately I can't remember the name of right now. I was certain I would. Then they were given a brand new book for free in the exact quantities that they ordered his prior series that just started like 6 months ago.
Was this intentional?
Yeah. A new book called Die, Die, Die was secret released to all comic stores, surprising even the retailers themselves last week.
That's crazy.
No one's ever done anything like it before.
Yeah, because it's probably illegal, right?
It's not.
I bought product X and you delivered this other thing.
No. They bought product X 6 months prior. They got that book. And as a reward for investing in independent comic books,
so they just gave them they more. Gave,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They gave them fair. More of exclusive covers, of which there were 10 varieties of.
Oh, God. Exclusive covers.
I mean, Robert Kirkman likes to have fun. So Die, Die, Die is a like political action movie satire co-written by one of the like showrunners for Walking Dead. And it's like... It's about, as much as I can gather from one issue, there's a secret cabal in the world that when bad shit's happening, they send in assassins to take care of it. So like they don't run the world, but they make sure that like the people who are just complete fucks get taken out. And in this case, one of those assassins is trying to solve this big problem. His handler appears to be someone who's like, I guess Hillary Clinton. And he gets his nose chopped off, and she gets sent a nose. And then this one guy has to go find this dude's like triplet brother to help him track down his brother whose nose got chopped off.
Hmm.
And it's this weird action comedy. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's called Die Die Die. And
it sounds like it would be really like a nightmare scenario for Kristen to have your nose chopped off. He would probably be sent blind.
I don't know. Do you just need the hole, or do you need the whole nose?
That's an interesting question, Kristen.
I don't know, actually.
The answer to that is you would still be able to smell, unless they also like poured acid into your entire nostril cavity.
That sounds horrible. Why would anyone do that to me?
So what?
Well, you know, I mean, if you want to ruin somebody's ability to smell, do it the right way.
Hmm. So it's your sinuses that smell. It's not actually your nose.
Yeah,
isn't
no, the nose
somewhat
is just
tied
a hole.
To your taste buds as well.
Like,
what?
Like no. It's the, well,
so that fecal smell's getting into my mouth.
Well, you know,
smell is 90%
of
taste.
You know, when you smell actual fecal, you're actually getting particles of
gross.
Fecal in your nose, right?
But it's it's worse than that, Bor, because the reality of it is that that's the only place where neurons are actually directly exposed to the outside world. So it's physically touching your brain.
Gross. John's
You're
weirding
welcome.
Me out, Cap. Okay, I'm changing the subject right now to something that I care about, and that is the fact that Sacha Baron Cohen is coming back, and I'm super excited about it. And it's not the nerdiest thing in the world, but I just wanted to mention it at least.
Yeah, that's cool. So it hasn't happened yet as of this recording.
But it is happening as of this release. So it's already
out.
Yeah,
like Sunday, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, a.k.a. Ali G, a.k.a. Borat, a.k.a. Bruno, has secretly been recording some kind of show in
the
vein.
Well, I've got a little bit of an insight on that.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've been crawling around the Twitters lately, and he's been kind of throwing us some bones on Twitter. And his new character is called Dr. Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr.
Okay.
And he's got a website set up for this character.
How the fuck did anybody assume that that was a real person with a name like that?
I don't know, but his website, he might have used this website as like some sort of a cover, like as part of his, you know, backing, but it's called truthbrary.org. Instead of like it's got the word library, but lie is stamped out with truth. So it's truthbrary.org, and he's been tricking politicians into giving him interviews, and it looks like it's going to be hilarious. There's a few politicians that have been freaking out.
Because they realized that they spoke with this dude?
Yeah, because they realized that they've been talking to him.
I feel like I heard a little bit about some of the stuff that's happened, and I was like, oh my
God. Yeah, he tricked Sarah Palin into an interview, and if you want, I've got a letter that he wrote to Sarah Palin.
Please.
Okay. You know, we try not to get political here, but this is just reporting.
And also, he's one of the greatest comedic minds of our generation.
I absolutely love everything that he's ever done, basically.
Yeah.
So this is him as his character, Dr. Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr., writing back to Sarah Palin, who has been like, I think she's threatened to sue him, and like she's...
Good luck with that.
She's been getting super pissed off. About this. So he writes, Vice President Palin, I am Dr. Billy Wayne Ruddock, founder/CEO/accountant of truthbrary.org, and it was I that interviewed you. I did not say I was a war vet. I was in the service, not military, but United Parcel. Now, if I have any weird, this is kind of weirdly punctuated, but because I believe it's, you know, supposed to be the way the character talked, but anyway, and I only fought for my country once when I shot a Mexican who came onto my property. Coincidentally, just like our great president, I was sadly prevented from joining the regular army on account of bone spurs being discovered in my testes. I have always admired you for telling the truth, that's in all caps, about Obama's birth certificate and the location of Russia. But ma'am, I do believe you have been hit by a bullshit grenade and you are now bleeding fake news. You used to hunt the most dangerous animals in the country like wolves and people on welfare. So why hunt a fine citizen journalist like myself? I demand an apology. Dr. Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr.
Wow.
So that's probably not something that will show up on the show, but that's sort of a fun letter that was... an open letter that was posted on Twitter.
Yeah,
that I really enjoyed. So,
I mean, the head of the top of this page of the truthbrary.org says, reject the mainstream media and the library of false information they try to push into the public's mind.
There are a ton of articles that are hilarious on there. Read some of those article headlines.
Oh gosh. Okay. So, it's a lot of what you'd expect, like Crooked Hillary, but also, Hillary is Satanist Illuminati.
You know, I mean, like, none of this stuff is even funny practically because they actually were peddling this before. I mean, that was the whole Pizzagate thing.
Yeah, honestly, Boar, I'm going to say that the vast majority of these headlines are totally like actual Breitbart things.
Accurate. Okay. Accurate,
and even Hillary is a Satanist Illuminati, that is still, you know,
pretty much what we've all heard before.
Yeah. They have been pretty tight lipped about almost everything regarding this, other than what I have gathered on Twitter. That's probably the most information that I've seen.
I mean, there was a teaser clip as well that showed, I believe, Dick Cheney autographing what was called a waterboarding
kit. But we haven't seen what the character, like, what his getup looks like or anything yet.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to Sunday. You can already see it if you're listening to this right now.
This was announced so quickly, and it's being released. So, like,
now this letter that was posted on Twitter, I just wanted to show how fast all this shit came out. When this letter was posted on Twitter, he posted it under the Twitter name of the character, so the character's Twitter account, right?
Uh huh.
There was like around 150 followers to this Twitter account when I found this letter, right?
Uh huh.
I checked back a couple hours later, and it's like a couple thousand. all it took was him retweeting it, and this, you know, character has a crap load of followers. But yeah, we've just been kind of getting trickles of information about this, and it's great so far.
I mean, you know, pretty much everyone in the world has seen Borat.
Yeah, Borat. And a lot of people have seen Bruno also. Bruno, I don't think, was quite as popular. I
mean, yeah, it didn't land anywhere near as hard.
Yeah. And if a lot of people don't seem to be very knowledgeable about Ali G.
Right, which
but
is
all
crazy.
Of Ali G's old stuff, which the original Ali G show on the BBC and then the HBO special was always a combination of three of his characters.
Yeah.
It was always Ali G, Borat, and Bruno.
Yeah.
And fantastic freaking shows. Very hilarious. He's been fucking around with politicians and people in various authoritative positions in Britain and the United States throughout the entire thing of it. So kind of screwing around with politicians and people in power and celebrities that have no idea what's going on is definitely right up his alley.
Yeah, I mean, and what Ali G's gimmick originally was, I mean, it was this like white British ghetto dude. Yeah.
Straight out of Staines.
Straight out of Staines.
Which is a real place.
I know it's a real place.
Just so that everybody else knows that.
Now, listen, he was from West Staines and he was in the Massive. The West Staines Massive.
Big up. I mean,
but he was talking to American politicians, and so they thought they were talking to like some kind of, you know, youth person. It's very appropriate that now he's come up with like another angle to do that again, because he was doing that work before, before The Daily Show was doing some of its best work at all.
Oh, yeah.
He predated all of that.
Yep.
So like now it's his opportunity to take what he pioneered and take it to this next level, which is pretty interesting. Like
I can't wait to see like what the character looks like, because everybody knows what he looks like, so I can only imagine that he's done himself up in some sort of an unrecognizable way.
Like Borat, Ali G, and Bruno, all like they're the same person, but they all have such a distinct
right
difference style. Aesthetically. Yeah. So yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, maybe he'll bomb, but he probably won't. I'm very excited to see how this goes down.
Did you guys ever hear the album for the Ali G movie?
The album?
Yeah, yeah. Ali G Into Sound.
Yeah.
I've never heard it.
It's
no.
Incredible. He's acting as DJ in character the entire time.
Oh, God. I got to find this immediately. Because Into House was one of my... I love that movie. It's fucking great. Charles Dance, I believe, was in it. What is his name? He's the Game of Thrones guy, the old guy.
Asking the wrong person. I've never watched a Game of Thrones.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, hilarious movie. Even though you should watch the old Ali G shows before you watch that movie, probably, so you have a better idea of who the character is. But
there's a show happening right now on Adult Swim called Mostly for Millennials. It's number four, which is, if you ever saw years ago, maybe 10 years ago at this point, there was a show called Totally for Teens that was a pilot hosted by a guy named Derek Beckles. And he's done a lot of shows since then, like Newsreaders and so on Adult Swim. So Mostly for Millennials actually got greenlit. It's a full-blown show, and it's produced by Eric Andre. And it's basically, I assume that there's another Eric Andre show coming, but Eric Andre at this point is pretty well-known. Everyone knows what he looks like. No one knows what Derek Beckles looks like right now in terms of like large-scale stuff. So he's got this show that's like, what if... It's like an Ali G... Eric Andre millennial hybrid show.
Okay.
That is it's very disturbing, it's very warped, it's very strange. I'm just saying, like, if you like Ali G specifically,
I do.
You may be
I've been saying that.
In this super surreal Eric Andre-ified version of that. For the modern era.
Okay.
For example, here's an example.
I'll try it.
He gets a room full of...
But you tried to get me to watch that Sclopio Pipio show, and...
that was a different program. This is a different program. Okay. For example, in this show, there's an episode where...
I'm just saying, I don't 100% trust you all the time.
And likewise, the feeling's mutual.
Sure.
So he gets a room full of conservatives, and is going to talk to them about millennials, and fucks around with them for a while, has them role play, has them put on like wigs and so on, and like, hey, you talk to this person, and... let's role play. So talk to this millennial. And it's very awkward and very like exposes a bunch of like really disturbing mindsets. And then
that does remind me of how Ali G used to get panels of people mm-hmm. and talk to him about difficult topics. Like he'd get like various, like a priest, a rabbi, like a pastor, all these religious people together, and he'll start asking them weird sex questions. And
yeah, and then he'll be talking about his big long dick, because, you know, it's about down to my knee, you know.
So then he rolls a guy in on the like one of those like back brace things. So you're like, you know, you're like horizontally like and vertical, you know, like but upside down. Not like
on a dolly.
Yeah, no, this is like a medical thing.
Okay.
Like, but he's turned upside down and his ass is exposed, and he gives him an enema of like some kind of clear alcohol. And I forget, there was a cute name for it. Basically, he's like, this is the cool thing all the kids are doing right now. And all these people.
Was it Everclear?
It was like Everclear. Okay. I mean, like, and all these people, like, believe that this is happening. And they're like, they think this is the next Tide Pods. And he's showing them, like, this, like.
Okay, I do have to watch this, I think.
It's an interesting show. It's a very challenging show. It's a very difficult show to watch. But Derek Beckles is doing some very interesting social pranking stuff. It's not for everybody. I'm just gonna put that out. It's not for everybody. I'm not even sure if it's for me, but I'm fascinated by it.
Interesting. Okay.
John, we've had you on the show for far, 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 far too long without you dropping some science on us. What's new with science? This is gonna be what closes out the show, so it better be good.
No pressure. No pressure.
A team made a 3D color x-ray machine?
What? Who did?
A 3D color x-ray machine.
Yeah.
It does. Who did? Who made it? They did? Just them?
Yeah, them. The people with the thing.
John, you're a sci-tech correspondent.
I don't have any notes. I don't remember specific people about anything. That's the whole problem. I do concepts. Concepts.
Okay, fine. What is the concept behind? Where is it getting the colors from?
It's a New Zealand company called Mars Bioimaging. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, so where's it getting the colors from?
It borrows technology developed from the Large Hadron Collider at CERN to produce far more detailed results than something.
You know what's really fun? If you misspell the word Hadron Collider and you're trying to go to their website, and you accidentally go to the large...
So which porn site does it take you to?
No, you go to the Large Hard-On Collider. There's no porn involved. Well,
this is like the White House?
But no.
Back in the old days?
No, it's just a comedy website.
Whitehouse.com.
Yeah,
it's just a comedy website. There's just a crude drawing of a dick.
Oh.
I don't know. That's considered to be pornography in Australia.
Whatever. Anyway, so they take a 3D X-ray, and they're actually using radiation. It's not...
But the point is that they're able to determine like what's bone, what's fat, what's muscle, and then artificially color it afterwards.
Because I've had 3D X-rays of my head taken before when they're trying to...
But they weren't in full HD colorized stuff.
They weren't, but it cost like $700.
Yeah. Medicine's a bitch.
Is it weird that I don't think that's a lot of money for procedures in hospitals?
This was just like they had a machine at an orthodontist. No, it was an orthodontist. An endodontist. And, you know, it took like 20 seconds. And they already had the machine laying around. And they charged me $700 to...
Anytime anything in medical costs less than $1,000, I'm always like, that was such a good deal.
No, not in this case.
Here, have these individually packaged.
And it wasn't in color.
It was
crappy old black and white.
Did you at least autograph it?
No.
Did the doctors autograph it?
It was digital.
You didn't even get a hard copy for that?
No, it was. How would you get a hard copy? It was 3D.
John?
Well, I mean, the answer to that is you can literally just 3D print that out then.
You can just print it, I guess.
So with this 3D...
But I took home the 3D printed version.
With
my head.
With this color 3D scan, it is fascinating. It looks like something from a sci-fi film. And
that was my thought. I was like, this looks like the, you know, medical section from like Serenity or something practically.
You can differentiate bone, muscle, technology. Fats, liquids, and other material in the body. Like it sees everything.
And then it colorizes it.
Yeah, which allows them to observe, like they were saying you could potentially discover other medical problems than what you're even looking for because you'll have such a broad idea of what you're seeing. It is showing you so much more. It's not just color. It's not just aesthetic. There's a practical application to doing this. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, any extra information we have is always a good thing. Assuming that it's real.
I can definitely see
noise.
The benefit of this because in that same said example where they're looking around 3D in my head trying to find some sort of a tooth problem, they were like, oh yeah, this here shadow, it might be something, you know, like,
well, right.
And maybe if they had more information, they'd have an idea what the fuck that shadow was.
And that winds up being the whole point though, because like ultimately when you're talking about MRIs and those sorts of things, generally, like you're talking about basically looking at individual slices of, you know, a three-dimensional structure like your head. And so the problem is people don't see 2D and 3D, but the computers can. They understand the entire data set as a matrix. And so they can actually understand each one of those geometries, what they are, what they should be, and what they aren't, let's say. As opposed to a human doctor who's having to like go like, okay, well, here's page one, page two, page three, you know, basically like cycling through, going through the layers down, back up again, having to like try to call that information into their mind, figure out how it's all going together. The computer already knows it all. So if you can teach the computer to identify parts like this, fats and bones and whatever, then they could
the way
really
I understood
speed
it
that
is
up.
That if you really understand what's going on and you're really into the matrix, you can just stare at the raw data and understand what's going on. I learned this, you know, around the year 2099, something like that.
It's the year 2099.
You just stare at the matrix code and you know exactly what's going on. So you're thinking that maybe the doctors just haven't gotten to that level yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe with enough augmentation, you know, we just start cutting into their heads and maybe they'll be able to have the code, you know.
Just downloaded directly
triffening,
into their skull.
You know, through the triffination, right?
What
is that word? What's a triffining?
What? Is that like, is that some kind of different Highlander movie?
Are you threatening me?
Anyway, the point is
he's, like, he's not going to explain himself. He's just saying.
Anyway, you plebeians don't understand triffening, so let me see if I can find some other words.
No, all of a sudden I'm like, Christ, is my brain broken? Did I say the word wrong? It's always possible.
No, we just have no idea what you're talking about. It's fine.
Triffination?
I attempted to look it up. Urban Dictionary has nothing.
No. Oh, my God.
Urban Dictionary. I in my head, I hope you went straight and you started at Urban Dictionary.
Really? I typed in triffining into Google and that was the second result, was that there's nothing on Urban Dictionary.
Alright, anyway, layman's terms. What were you trying to say?
You cut a hole in the skull. The information comes in.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's the way for the dust to enter.
So anyway, do we have anything else regarding this? Any talking points?
I mean, it exists.
It's cool. I like it.
It's cool. Have a look at it. We'll link to it on this episode's page.
Sweet.
That's all there is to it.
So, I know you said we were going to close with that, but I really wanted to talk about how I've gotten into Twitter lately.
God damn it, it's trepanning. But apparently the other word actually is a thing into itself.
Hey,
operate on with a triffing, which is a 17th century Latin.
Yeah, so I've gotten tired of arguing with people on Facebook, right? So now I've taken all my arguments over to Twitter.
That sounds like a good platform to argue on.
Yeah, I think so. So far, I've been having a lot of fun with it. Like, just before we started recording this episode, I was a jerk to Trench, like, for 3 or 4 tweets. It was pretty good.
That sounds real nice.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Nerdy Show listeners, is I need more followers. So you need to go to Twitter What is my Twitter handle? It's go to twitter.com/BoreWTF. That's BoreWTF. And you can at me and I'll argue with you too.
And I'm at Cat Blackard and I only say nice things.
No. It's not. I will say mean things to you. I'll bring you down to my level.
I'll block you.
Yeah. Well, hey, interesting. Did I ever tell you about how one time,
go on.
So Adam Baldwin, he played Jane in Firefly.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit. And one time I pissed him off enough on Twitter that I got him to block me.
Nice.
Yeah, but I took it like probably a 7 or 8 year hiatus from Twitter. I made my Twitter account and I think it said 2007. And
well, you did score Bore WTF, and I feel like even though that would be nonsense to anybody else, that's probably.
Oh, I actually changed my name a few days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's just no one wanted it.
Yeah, nobody wanted it. I tried to get just at Bore so I can have that, but it's like something completely different.
At Bore is Burnt Orange Report.
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Well, it's the top political blog in the Lone Star State. Our eyes are on Texas politics.
Yeah, it's dumb. They need to give that to me.
Yeah, Burnt Orange Report. That's a terrible... What does that even fucking mean? That's fucking weird.
Yeah. It's not as cool as me. That's all I'm
saying.
I feel
like it's a reach. Like, maybe they thought you were going to ask for that. So
probably.
How can we make this so he can't have this?
Yeah. If I would have thought of claiming that name back when I started the account. I totally could have had it because my account is older than theirs, but whatever. My bad.
I also want to circle back to Trepanning.
Right.
Which I'm on the Wikipedia page for.
It's late. I have slept a total it's 8 hours.
The act of creating trap music.
It's the act of creating a hole in someone's head. A surgical hole is drilled into the human skull. The top image in it is by Hieronymus Bosch.
Really?
Yeah. It's the extraction of the Stone of Madness. And it's some folks out in a field, and there is a guy wearing a funnel on his head, carving a hole into a very disturbed-looking man. Looks like, oh god, it's not fun. This is not a fun practice. And there's a human skull from the Neolithic period showing some trepanning that happened.
The funny part about it is, though, is like you actually can perform it as a medical procedure to an extent back in the day, relieving pressure on the brain effectively, but. You know, most of the reasons why they did things was never the reasons that they should have, even if they worked.
Mm-hmm. What's your Twitter handle, John?
I don't go on there after the 2016 election.
Oh.
But it used to be John_West.
Well, if you want to never interact with John, find him on Twitter at John_West. And how about you, Kristen? Are you active on Twitter at all?
I'm active on my fragrance Twitter, not so much my personal Twitter anymore.
That's okay.
It's beauty_meow_.
That's a lot of underscores. Beauty.
Well, I mean, sometimes you got to throw an underscore in there. For example, State of the Empire couldn't get Willow Watch as our Twitter because that's a fan page dedicated to Will Smith's daughter.
What? Whoa. That is wow. Fucked.
Yep. And she was pretty young when it started. So yeah, not necessarily great.
Nope.
So we're Willow Watch _ now, which is less than ideal.
Yeah, wow. I think I have the same reaction as John does right now. Uneasy.
All right. Well, I just followed you on Twitter, and now I'm going to tweet to you. I'm going to tweet to you about random scents that I smell.
Awesome. I'm going to follow you now.
In the men's bathroom, got some sharp notes of fecal with some very pungent urine.
It's hints of sulfur, perhaps rotten eggs.
And what do you call rotten beer?
Some blue urinal cake.
The back alley.
Sharp notes of blue urinal cake here.
I got some back alley musk here.
Back alley musk.
That sounds like a good Twitter handle.
Yeah. And yet somehow all about Tesla news.
There, now I'm following you so we can get into arguments. Back alley musk.
I get it now. Ooh, Back Alley Musk is available, John. So you can rejoin Twitter and tweet all the
as long as you snag it on Elon before we air this episode.
Yeah,
Back Alley Musk.
Get some Back Alley Musk up in your mouth.
I want to tweet at Black Alley Musk. So if you could go ahead and secure that. But the reason that I took that Twitter handle bore WTF. Is because I own the domain bore.wtf. So in the future, I haven't done anything with it yet. It just kind of goes to my Twitch channel. But in the future, maybe I'll do something with that. So I'm setting stuff up for the future that I don't even know anything about.
And that's why your header image is space with a galaxy in it.
Yep.
You're thinking about the future.
I'm thinking about space.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, definitely not a lizard man. That's good that you've assured me of that.
That's something a lizard man would say.
Good profile. No, that's what a red-blooded American would say. That's very good. That's like my profile says, you know, my pronouns are they, them, and yours says definitely not a lizard man. I think that's very important information that everyone...
One of Nerdy Show's favorite fans, Dizdon Bates, he was tweeting at me about the lizard man thing. He was questioning my lizard man. I think he had a similar question to what you were just saying. Like, wouldn't lizard man say that? He says, but are you sure you're not a lizard man? I hear you don't like peeps, and you know that peeps and dilk are the only two real ways to overcome any lizard drugs meant to make you all ready to accept their eating of your gonads.
That was a very involved tweet.
It was, but...
Now, are these peeps like my peeps, or are they like peeps the candy that you get around Easter?
Peeps the candy that you get around Easter.
You have to burn them. They taste amazing when they're on fire.
Oh, I thought you were going to say burn them and then just, you know, throw them in the trash because that's where I think they belong. So I replied to him because, you know, I'm just going to read some tweets because that's basically like news reporting. Professional news reporting is mainly just reading tweets these days.
Right, yeah.
So I'm just going to continue. Oh. So I replied to Dizdon and I said, I consider myself a skeptic and therefore I am rarely 100% sure about anything. I don't know how to prove without a doubt that I am not a lizard, but I am quite certain of it, and I will operate under the assumption that I am not until proven otherwise. So that's what I have to say about...
That's what I think about whether or not we're all in just a virtual reality game right now.
I want to point out that your first tweet, which I can very easily get to because you've tweeted so little.
I told you I took a really long break.
It was on March 13th.
And I cleaned out some old shit.
2007.
Yep.
Watching this hilarious video. And it was a link to some...
And it's a dead link.
It works. It does? It was a kid blowing out some birthday candles and there's some puppets. I don't know what it is.
What?
Your second tweet, which was over a month later...
It was almost...
Was...
4 months later.
You're right, yeah. It was, all I want to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Just shake your rump.
And then, slightly less than a year later, you returned to Twitter, where you said, I'm going to try using Twitter as a form of microblogging since I rarely have the patience to write out a long post.
And it didn't really last very long.
No, it didn't.
No. I went really hard at it for like five more tweets and then I took a break for several years.
So welcome back.
Yeah. I think I finally figured it out though. I think I'm getting a hang on Twitter and I'm liking the way information flows on Twitter better than Facebook.
You mean like at all?
Yeah, exactly. Things happen.
Yeah.
And actual Fuck news Facebook. Comes through instead of just...
You whatever know, like, dribble they keep shoveling in your mouth over and over
Facebook
again.
Facebook is always, to me, like, all of the quote-unquote news or any memes or anything you see is, like, shit that I saw on Reddit 4 weeks ago anyway.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
So, you know, I like keeping up to date on what's going on with friends and family on Facebook, but I'm sick of all the other
stuff. Well,
I mean,
ever after they fucked up the timeline anyway, and then, of course, all the shit with, like, the company.
I need to be on the bleeding edge.
Over,
I need to talk to people about what's going on right now.
Right.
So what's going on right now?
That's why
I don't know.
Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter right now.
You
We're on Nerdy
you're
Show.
You're
Twitter was too goddamn real.
Yeah.
I was exposed
Plus,
to
we're
it.
Just about out of time.
Made to stare into the
oh,
darkness.
Oh, this is a longer than average episode.
Yeah.
It's been a very fragrant episode, a very powerful episode. So
I'm going to tweet about it.
Yo, what are you going to tweet?
You should do it right now.
Live tweet from the podcast. That's relevant. That's socially relevant.
Is it?
Weirdest recording ever.
I might retweet you if it's something worthwhile.
LOL, JK, photo of John West.
WTF, BBQ.
Yeah, that's it. That's
JK.
The stuff right there.
JK.
JK.
John and Krista, JK.
So, incidentally, when Doctor Who said, for JK, it was for us.
Yeah.
I thought he said vajayjay.
Is that your, like...
That was an actual thing that happened.
Is that your couple power name, JK?
Yes.
That was literally in Doctor Who, he literally said that.
That isn't what I asked.
We're really lazy, so yes. It's not as good as our friends, who's St. Freckles.
Huh. Okay. St. Freckles. Fascinating.
I love it.
Cool. Well, on that peculiar note, we're gone.
Bye.
See you later. Yeah. Bye.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.